Hi, this is Fred Zaspel, editor at Books at a Glance. We're talking today to Frank Turek. He is the director of Cross Examined, an apologetics ministry. He's also the author of Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. You got to love the title. Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Good to have you with us today, Frank. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for having me.
All right. First, introduce yourself to our readers. Tell us about your ministry, Cross Examined. What's that all about?
Cross Examined, we started about 10 years ago because we recognized that about 75% of young people walk away from the church once they leave the home. And one of the major reasons they do this is intellectually they don't know why Christianity is true. So we try and provide them evidence as to why Christianity is true. And we do that on college campuses, high schools, churches, obviously on the internet. We have an app, the Cross Examined app, that has a whole bunch of quick answers on it for people. And so we've been doing this for about 10 years now. And as I say, I spent a lot of time on college campuses and high school campuses. And most of what we do is based on either Stealing from God, the new book, or I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, a book I co-wrote with Dr. Norman Geisler.
Okay, tell us about this book, Stealing from God. Explain your title for us and your overall thesis.
Well, first of all, it's not about tithing, Fred. I always hear, is this about tithing?
I love it.
No. The subtitle, which you mentioned earlier, is important. The book is called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And what I'm saying here is that atheists are using aspects of reality that they're using these aspects of reality to argue against God, but these aspects of reality wouldn't exist if atheism were true. They only exist if God exists. Let me just give you one real brief example. Atheists often say there's too much evil in the world for there to be a good God. The problem is, for them to say there's too much evil in the world, they have to assume there's good, because evil doesn't make sense unless there's a standard of good. But in order for there to be a standard of good, an objective standard of good, God must exist. So evil doesn't disprove God. Evil may prove there's a devil out there. Evil actually shows that there has to be a being called God, because by definition, God's nature is the very standard of good. So in order to argue against God, atheists have to steal from God to say he doesn't exist. They have to steal this concept of good in order to make sense of evil to say God doesn't exist. And we do that for several other categories or several other subjects as well in the book.
That's great. Yeah, who are you to come up with this idea of good if God isn't there?
Exactly.
Who's your target audience? Is the book aimed at, who?
Well, obviously, people who are interested in evidence and apologetics. We are trying to equip Christians, because the book is written at a very popular level. We're taking some what can be complex issues, and we're trying to present them in a popular way. And so we cover some major issues in there that you hear in the culture. And the book is oriented around crimes, C-R-I-M-E-S. And each chapter in the book deals with a different one of these letters. The C stands for causality. The R stands for reason. The I stands for information and intentionality. The M in crime stands for morality. The E, evil. And the S, science. These are things, Fred, that atheists often point to say atheism's true, yet none of them would exist unless God existed. There'd be no such thing as causality, reason, information, morality, evil, or science unless God existed.
Well, I love the concept. Let's chase it a little. You emphasize, first of all, that an atheist is not one who merely lacks belief in God. What's your point there, and why is that important?
Well, because atheists try and get out of having a burden of proof for their position by simply saying, well, we just lack a belief in God as atheists. We don't have any positive beliefs. First of all, that's not true. They don't just lack a belief in God. Atheists have a positive belief in materialism. In other words, they think everything's made of materials. Everything's made of molecules. They also quite frequently argue that there is no God because they have certain theories like quantum theory to explain the universe, or evolution to explain new life forms, or the multiverse to say that our universe doesn't have to be designed. We just happen to be in a universe that by chance has these certain fine-tuned characteristics. So they come up with positive reasons to explain the universe and reality in the absence of God. They're not just saying we don't believe in God. They're saying we believe in certain things like materialism. Secondly, the reason it's important is if they're just saying they lack a belief in God, then they're not really saying anything about the real world. They're just saying something about their own psychological state. Well, so what? Rocks lack a belief in God. Outhouses lack a belief in God. Trees lack a belief in God. But that's not really saying anything positive about the universe. That's just saying something about their own psychological state. I mean, if I were to say to an atheist, well, look, I just lack a belief in materialism, does that necessarily mean that I'm making a positive case for Christianity? No. I have to give positive reasons for my positive beliefs. Likewise, atheists have to give positive reasons for why they believe the universe can be explained in materialistic terms, in the absence of a being we call God.
Very good.
Also, let me mention one other thing.
Sure, sure.
If the word atheist does not mean someone who says there is no God, then what do we call people who say there is no God? If we don't call them atheists, what do we call them? I mean, someone who says I lack a belief in God is just saying something about his own psychological state. He's not really saying anything about the real world. When I say I have a belief in God and I think that that reflects reality, I'm making a positive assertion that there's a being out there called God. Whereas atheists are also making a positive assertion when they say there is no God. They're saying that the world can be explained in these other means, materialism, evolution, quantum theory, all these other things.
Right.
So we have an even playing field here. We both have the burden of proof to explain reality by our worldview.
Very good. Let's take another sample from your book. Hmm? You say, if atheism is true, there's no way to know it with any confidence. In fact, if atheism is true, there's no way to know anything with any confidence. Explain your point there for us.
Yeah, excellent question. Atheists claim to be champions of reason. They even often organize reason rallies. They had one back in D.C. back in 2012, I think it was. And they claim to be free thinkers. The problem here, Fred, is there is no free or nor is there is no thinking going on if atheism's true. Why? Because atheists claim that atheistic materialism is true. In other words, we're just molecular machines. We are nothing but moist robots. Every thought we have, according to the atheists, is the result of a previous natural cause, just the laws of physics. So we're not really free, and we're not really reasoning. We're no different than a Coke can fizzing if materialistic atheism is true. You see, the category of immaterial reality, and when I say immaterial reality, I mean the laws of logic. I mean the fact that we have a mind and not just a brain. That's not available to the atheist. But that's what the laws of logic and our ability to reason require. I mean, if we're just molecular machines, we're not really reasoning. We're just reacting. Now, on the other hand, reason and the laws of logic are well explained by a theistic God whose very nature is rational. I mean, John's Gospel declares, in the beginning was the Word, or rationality, the Logos, from which we get the word logic. It opens up that way because his nature is the ground of logic, the ground of reason. And in fact, if you think about this, it's ironic that atheists must rely on faith rather than reason, because since they're materialists, like Sam Harris and Daniel Dennett, they claim that consciousness and free will are illusions. Now, I wonder if they freely came to those conclusions while conscious, but I'll leave that aside. If they are correct that everything's just molecules, there is no immaterial reality, then you and me don't really exist, and neither do arguments. We are just molecular machines who are reacting, not reasoning. That's why I say atheistic materialism has destroyed all tools necessary to make an intellectual case for atheism or anything else.
So logic itself is impossible.
That's right. Logic itself is impossible. Reason is impossible. That's why they have to steal from God to try and argue against him. They have to steal reason. They have to steal the laws of logic. They have to steal the fact that this is a rational universe while they try and make rational arguments that there is no God. And in order to do that, the only way they can do it is accept it on blind faith.
So they can't really live with their own assertions.
They can't really live with it. They can't make an intellectual argument for atheism without assuming rationality, which can't be explained by materialism, can only be explained by a theistic God.
Very good. All right, the God of the gaps. The God of the gaps. That's an expression that's become very popular. What's meant by that expression, and what are some of the problems associated with it?
Yes, God of the gaps is when you try and say that you can't find a natural cause for a particular phenomenon, and so you plug God in the gap of your knowledge and say, well, God must have done it. For example, we used to think that maybe thunder was caused by the gods directly. You know, maybe they're bowling up there or something like that. And so we said, oh, God must be doing this. And then we learned, oh, there's a natural explanation for this phenomenon known as thunder. And so now we look pretty stupid by plugging God into the gap in our knowledge. But that's not what we're doing here. And I guess you have to explain it by example. For example, in the human genome, we find a word that's the longest word we've ever discovered. It's 3.5 billion letters long. Now, whenever we see a word or a message, we always assume there must be a mind behind it. You don't find random messages from natural forces. Natural forces themselves don't create messages. And yet, when you find a message that's 3.5 billion letters long, you know, there's got to be a mind behind it. If there's a message, there's got to be a messenger. In fact, Bill Gates said that the human DNA is like a software program, but it's far more complicated than anything we've ever created. Well, if there's a program, there must be a programmer. And so when we say there must be intelligence, say, behind the human genome, we don't just lack a natural explanation for that. We don't just have a gap in our knowledge. We see that a message always points back to a mind. So we don't just lack a natural explanation. We have positive, empirically verifiable evidence for an intelligent being when we see a message. So we're not arguing from gaps. We're arguing not from what we don't know. We're arguing from what we do know. When we see a message, it always points back to a mind. So this is not a God of the gaps argument. We're not making God of the gaps arguments here.
That's an important distinction.
Yes.
All right. We're accustomed to hearing that modern science has disproved the existence of God. How is that claim impossible? And to turn the tables, how is it that theism supports science and that without theism, science is impossible?
Yeah, that's a whole chapter in the book. In fact, the title of the chapter is called Science Doesn't Say Anything Scientists Do. And what I mean by that is that I always hear people in the culture saying, well, science says this and science says that. Like even the global warming controversy. Science says this and science says no. Science doesn't say a thing. All data needs to be gathered. All data needs to be interpreted. And science doesn't do that. Scientists do. And sometimes a worldview of a scientist will determine how he or she interprets the evidence. And we see this in the macroevolution debate. We see evidence pointing to an intelligence, the 3.5 letter genetic code in every human being, and yet scientists have already ruled out philosophically that there can't be an intelligence out there. So he or she always says it has to be a natural cause. Well, that's not a result of science. That's a result of the scientists' philosophical predisposition toward atheism. And another aspect of this, Fred, it's a big topic, but to say that science can disprove God is like saying that a mechanic can disprove the existence of Henry Ford. And what I mean by that is, and this is an illustration that I borrowed from John Lennox from Oxford University. He always asks his students, you've got a Ford motor car in front of you, say a Model T. He says, I'm going to give you two possible explanations, or I want to ask you, what caused the Model T? I'll give you two possibilities, Henry Ford or the laws of internal combustion. And the students always go, well, Dr. Lennox, you need both. And he says, exactly. You need Henry Ford to create the Model T, and then you need the laws of internal combustion to remain consistent and precise in order for the Model T to work. If the laws of internal combustion changed every 5 minutes, the Model T would never work. And he said, I don't understand why atheists can't see this point. You can study the natural universe and learn as much as you can about cause and effect by the natural laws, and that should never tell you you don't need a creator or a sustainer of those very natural laws. Just like you can study a Model T and learn everything you can about it, about how it works, that should never cause you to come to the conclusion that there was no creator of the Model T. In fact, the more you understand the Model T, the more you realize it had to have been designed. And this is the way we know God. We know God by his effects. We see a creation, we know there must be a creator. We see a conscience, we know there must be a moral lawgiver. So we're arguing from effect to cause. And one other aspect about this I think we need to point out is that science would be impossible unless the laws of nature were consistent and precise. I mean, you ever think about this? Why are the laws of nature so consistent and precise? Why do they do the same thing over and over again? It seems to me the reason for that is because this is not a random universe. This is a rationally designed universe. And there's a being holding together the very laws of nature we use to do science. If nature was herky-jerky or random, we couldn't study cause and effect. So nature itself requires a being that we would call God to keep everything designed and goal-directed. And I spent a lot of time on this in the book in the chapter on intentionality, that the universe is goal-directed and everything in the universe is goal-directed. That's because it's goal-directed by a sustaining intellect we call God. This is, by the way, why Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. And the writer of Hebrews says that the universe is held together by his sustaining word, because the universe is designed and goal-directed, and that's what you need in order to do science. You couldn't do science without God.
Excellent. Do you have any other new books in the making that we can watch for?
Well, it's way, way off. We have a lot of new little videos, and I am working on another book, but it's not going to be done for quite a while. And we have a lot of blog posts and other resources that people could get at crossexamine.org and our Facebook pages. So we're putting out a lot of new information every day. We're learning, Fred, that particularly the young people we're aiming at, they live on their iPhones and their droids. And so we put out a lot of short little videos, Q&A videos, and things that we take from our seminars on college and high school campuses. And these things spread around pretty well. So
great.
we're putting out a lot of stuff every day, actually.
Great. Well, we're talking to Frank Turek. He's the director of Cross Examined. Check them out at crossexamined.org. We're talking about his book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. You'll enjoy the book. Encourage you to take a look at it. Frank, thanks for being with us.
Fred, a pleasure. Thanks for what you're doing at Books at a Glance. I'm a subscriber, by the way.
Great. Thanks a lot. All right.